know it's been a weird season for all of us, and I'm honestly still waiting to see how God is going to use this for his good. I absolutely know that he's going to and will, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm anticipating and expectant of all of that. But I really want to stay pliable to his will and to his working and to what he's doing. And I say that because I want to be so careful in what I am teaching and what I am preaching. I've really felt that strong the last few weeks. I'm not just checking boxes or trying to cover, you know, just needed subjects. I really do try to hear from God and follow the Lord carefully in teaching and preaching, and that leads me to our next few messages. And I really have wrestled and just turned this around in my spirit and just prayed a lot this week about the direction that we were going to go these next few weeks. So whether it's 1 week or a few weeks, I'm going to just be obedient to God. And I just really feel like I need to talk to you about favor. And really some aspects of favor. I have the favor of the Lord on my mind, and it's in my spirit, and I know it's a broad subject, and I hope to narrow in on some areas that I want God's favor in my life, and I trust you would want the same. You want God's favor on your life in these areas as well. And we've heard it said many times, favor ain't fair. And honestly, favor isn't fair. But it doesn't just show up in people's lives randomly. God is no respecter of persons. If you see someone who has favor on their life, it is because they are intentional about doing the right thing. They are intentional about positioning their lives and setting up themselves to be favored by the Lord. And if we are intentional to seek God's favor or to seek God's approval, I know that word can seem kind of ominous. I mean, I'm trying to get the approval of God, and there's no way I'm ever going to get the approval of God. You would be shocked how crazy God is about you. Even with your imperfections, even with your occasional stumbles, even with those random thoughts that run through your mind, even with the temptations that you succumb to, you know, from time to time, you would be shocked how crazy God is about you and how much he loves you and actually approves of you. So it makes me want to know, what can I do to get his favor on my life? How can I get God's approval on my life? Because here's my heart. I don't want God to bless what I'm doing. I want to do what God is blessing. Let me say that again. I don't want God to bless what I'm doing. In other words, he's trying to catch up with me because I'm just running, you know, just crazy and random and chaotic in my life. No, I want to do what God is blessing, which means I may need to quiet down some other things in my life. I may need to push some other things out in my life. I may need to, somebody told me the other day they were getting off of social media, and that doesn't mean I need to get off social media or that everyone needs to, but maybe for a season, maybe for a time, there are just some dials I need to turn down, some volume I need to turn down so that I can hear from God, because I don't want God to bless what I'm doing. I want to do what God is blessing. And I'm going to talk to you today a little bit about money. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about business and just the affairs of life. And I know teaching about money is not exciting, but I woke up so excited today to teach God's word because it's one of the major areas of our lives where we need God's favor. We need God's favor in our finances. You say, Pastor Darrell, why begin there? Well, number one, it's what God said. It's what God said. But secondarily, it's been hard to miss this week. I don't know if anybody's been hearing the news about shutdowns and it's all they've talked about. It's just been wall-to-wall coverage of shutdowns, and that's become a big political football that is thrown back and forth, and you know, blame on every side, and there is blame on every side. And somewhere late yesterday evening, they voted to avoid a government shutdown. They've got a temporary, what they call a CR or a continuing resolution for 45 more days. And guess what? In 44 days, we're going to be doing all this again. In 44 more days, there's going to be wall-to-wall coverage. And on the 45th day, they're still going to be blaming one another, fighting back and forth with one another. You know why? Because our government cannot handle business. Trillions and trillions of dollars and cannot handle business. Has not been a balanced budget in a very, very long time. And so these continuing resolutions are just the temporary votes to just keep government open while we do not do our jobs. I don't know why we pay these people this much money, but anyway, that's a soapbox for another day. But it makes me think about my own life. It makes me think about my own affairs and my own business. Why start here when you talk about favor? We're going to talk about a number of subjects. I'm not going to be spending this entire series talking about money. I want to talk to you about marriage. I want to talk to you about a number of things. But Ecclesiastes 10 and 19 says that money is the answer for everything. What do you mean money's the answer? Well, I need favor in my marriage, but we're fussing about money. If I can get this money situation situated, it would ease up some of the pressure on my relationship. Money answers all things. I need favor in my life, and I know talking about money makes us nervous, and it's kind of cringy. I'm really comfortable. I heard about two men that were stranded on an island. That's awkward, but stranded on an island, you know, how that happened, I don't know exactly, but... One was just completely out of their mind. You know, this is the end. I mean, this is it. This is how we're going to die. And the other one said, "We're not going to die. This is good, man. We're okay. They're going to find us." And the guy who was just in complete despair and worry and, you know, anxiety said, why are you so calm, cool, and collected? He said, "Well, let me tell you why." He said, "I make $200,000 a month, and I'm a tither. My pastor will find us." He's going to find us. We say it all the time, but if I'll make his business my business, he'll make my business his business. I want to talk to you today about the blessing business. The blessing business. If I'll make his business my business, he'll make my business his business. And you know what? We absolutely want the Lord involved in our business. You say, no, that's private. That's private. I don't want anyone in my business. Well, guess what? He's already there. He's already there. He owns it all. He knows your hiding spot. And I need his favor on my business. And this is a business that I manage. It's a business that you manage. When I talk about the business of you, Goins household, the Otis household, the Sturdivant household. You are a business. You may not have a sign. You may not have neon lights flashing open. You may not have now hiring signs posted in the windows, but you are a business and you are the manager of that business. So let me ask you today, how are we doing as managers? How are we doing managing the business of our lives? Here's what Jesus said to his disciples, Luke 16, verses 1 and 2. He said, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So we called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. Rich man has a manager managing his accounts and his business, hears about waste of his wealth, waste of his possessions, calls in the manager and says, what is going on? You've got to give an account of your management, because however this account comes out, however this audit comes back, you may no longer be the manager. And when you look at this word manager, the Greek word, I don't speak Greek, but okonomos, which means overseer, or one who has charge of the affairs or household. It is an office of trust and confidence. You know what? You and I are the managers. Jesus is teaching a parable to talk about the importance of money, which he did a lot. He talked so much about money, so much about possession, so much about how we manage and how we view possessions and money. And so he's telling a parable. There's a rich man, and I've placed a manager over this, but they're not managing well. You and I are the managers. Maybe you're an assistant manager in your house. Maybe you're an assistant to the assistant in your house. But when it comes to the affairs of our lives, affairs of our houses, our finances, how are we doing as managers? Are we in a position for favor? Are we in a position to be blessed by God? Because as managers, we really only have two options. Really, really only two options when it comes to management. The first one, we can be wasteful. We can be wasteful. It's what he said in Luke 16 and 1. There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. That word waste is dioscorpizo, which means to disperse or to scatter or mismanage or squander. It's the same word that Luke used to describe the prodigal son in the previous chapter of Luke chapter 15. The Bible said he squandered his wealth in wild living, because money is not the only thing that we can waste. Money is not the only thing that we can not value. We can easily waste time. We can easily waste energy. We can easily squander opportunities in our lives. And we struggle to be good stewards of our lives, and here's what we assume. We assume that we always have plenty of time to catch up. We assume that there's always going to be opportunity for us to get ahead. I'm 59 years old. I've not even started to think about retirement, but I've got time. I feel good. I you know, everything is all right. I've got time to catch up later. And I think it's human nature. I think it's human nature that procrastinates, that gets a little lazy, that just, you know, doesn't want to think about the hard things or make the hard choices or make some hard decisions. I also think the enemy gets involved, because he wants us to live at this frantic pace. He wants us to live in a wasteful mindset. He wants us to live our lives where we are disorganized and we just can't find anything, and we don't know where the papers are, and just he likes it, because it brings chaos into our life. Because as long as we are distracted with the chaos, then we're not focused on the call. Are you hearing the teaching today? So how are we wasteful? Well, we may be wasteful if we don't plan for the future. Maybe some things you want to write down, just that you can think through this week in your own study and devotion time. We don't plan for the future. What about the future? I mean, The future seems really uncertain right now. When I think about things just from logical standpoint, or when I watch news, or when I check in on stock market, or I look at the, you know, how the 401k is doing. I mean, what about the future? The future is uncertain. The future is absolutely secure in the Lord, and I'm trusting Him, and I'm depending on Him. But when I look at some of these other things, the future is a concern, and so I've got to make a plan. I've got a plan. I mean, if these groceries get any more expensive, if gas, you know, continues to go up, and I know we just had a gas tax suspension, and so we're getting a, you know, 20 cent or so reprieve from recent months. But if we don't plan for these things, then we're going to become a victim to our lack of planning. Secondly, we're wasteful if we do not track our spending. Dave Ramsey says, give every dollar a name so that you know exactly where it's going. You make every dollar obedient to you. You have to tell your money where to go, or otherwise your money ends up managing you. It gets wasted. It's just, I get to the end of the month and where did it go? What happened? I just had this much the other day. What in the world is going on? How many boxes have come from Amazon? I can say that because we have a lot of boxes that come from Amazon. If we don't track our spending, then we have no idea where our money is going. And then thirdly, we're wasteful if we spend foolishly. Because if you were to present today your checkbook or a list of your transactions, we would know what you truly value. We would know where your heart is. We would know exactly what you think and what is so important to you. If we spend foolishly, or we're just reckless with our spending. So one of the management options is that we can be wasteful. But here's another management option. We can be faithful. We can be faithful as managers. Luke 16, verses 10 and 11. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? This is the same story Jesus is teaching about possessions and riches and finance. And whoever can be trusted with very little, they're going to be trusted with very much, because faithfulness brings favor. When we consistently do the right things, we are rewarded in our lives. But instead, we say things like, well, when I get rich. Well, first of all, you are rich. I know, sitting here with bills due and, you know, less money in your pocket than you've ever had, or whatever the circumstances of your life are, you are in the very highest percentage of wealth when you look at the scale of riches around the world. We are rich. Declare that over yourself. I'm blessed. I have God's favor on my life. But here's the truth. However you manage what you have right now, if you get more of it, you will likely manage the same. Because management is not about amount. A management is about principle. It's about obedience. So if I don't honor God with $100, I'm probably not going to honor God with $100,000. We're praying, God, send 100,000. But he's saying, wait a minute. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. That's a strong word, I know. But Jesus said, listen, if I can't trust you with little, I'm not going to be able to trust you with more. He goes on in verse 13, Luke 16. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And you're saying, but I'd like to try. I'd like to try. I'd like to just do my best. If I could just get a little more of that and just see how I do. I understand. I pray for God's blessing. I pray not because I want some other car or bigger house or it's not about that. I want to do more for God. You want that pressure off of you. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with asking God to bless. But there is something wrong with trying to serve both. There's something wrong with trying to get more money and it costing you your spiritual success. I remember having, it was such a specific and direct conversation with someone that I pastored in Texas, a beautiful family. And they just had hit a tough time financially, and so we're going to take extra jobs, or we're going to change jobs, we're going to do this, and we're just going to make these moves, and it just means, you know, Pastor, we're not going to be able to be here on Sundays because we can make more money if we work on Sundays. And I have those conversations a lot with people, but this was so specific. This was so, I can give you good counsel. I can give you good principle. I can tell you, man, you got to be careful with that. And you can't miss every Sunday. You know, I could give you good counsel that's just common sense, but this was so specific, God speaking, that this was such a mistake. This was a mistake. Do not do this. They said, no, but we'll still be here on Wednesdays doing Wednesday night Bible. We'll still be here every single Wednesday, but it wasn't long that they weren't there on Sunday and they weren't there on Wednesday. And I wish I could tell you that that family is together. That family is so broken apart and so scattered and so messed up, and do not attend church anywhere. Do not serve the Lord. And I don't say that. I say that because it breaks my heart and I still pray for them. We make decisions. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot, it just will not work. Because this age-old battle, God versus money. They say that on average, Christians give about 2% of their income. Talking about positioning ourselves for favor. How do I get God's favor on my life? But Christians only give about 2% of their income. The statistics, it's not me, but fewer than 3% of Christians tithe. That means we're in a constant battle of our will and his, our wants and his, our desires and his. And Jesus made a big deal out of money, how we handle it and what we do with it. And he said in Luke 12 and 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Because as a manager, I can be wasteful or I can be faithful. Because how I manage is how the business is going to go. The way that I manage is going to reflect in the success or the failure of the business. So if there's two kinds of management, wasteful or faithful, then there's also two kinds of businesses. And the first one is the cursed business. Again, look at your life, look at your home, look at your family as a business. We want favor, not failure. We want blessing, not cursing. So look at Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithe and offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. That word rob is in the Hebrew gaba, means to defraud, to spoil, to embezzle. And the reality is, as long as I think it belongs to me, I'll never accept that it really belongs to God. As long as I think I own everything, Listen, I can drive in the driveway and will today. Thank you, Lord, for this house. Thank you for this house that you've given us. Thank you for this home that you allow us to pay for. Thank you. Thank you for this home. Thank you, Lord, that I got this 2.5% interest rate before they went up to, whoo, you better believe I will thank God when I pull in that driveway today. But I don't own it. I know whose name is on the deed, but it's God who blesses. It's God who makes a way. It's God who helps us. And it's just easy. I understand you worked the 50 hours. You invested the 60 hours. You put in the overtime. It's your feet that are hurting. It's your hands that are calloused. It's your back that feels like it is breaking. But it is God who wakes you up every day. And when I reframe and I look at it with that perspective that God, this is you in my life. Thank you for the health. Thank you for the feet that hurt. But thank you, Lord, for the bath that I can run when I get in and soak these feet. Thank you, Lord, that I can go to work and still have the ability. Thank you, Lord, for all the years that I invested and now I have this retirement. Thank you, Lord, because I know that you ultimately own everything. And I am just a manager. I am just a steward of the business that I am in called life. The amazing thing about God is even though it belongs to him, he gives to us to manage. And he said, I just want you to give me the part that I asked for. I want you to give me the tithe. I want you to bring back, just reserve what I asked for. He wants all of you. But he said, I'm not taking everything from you. I want you to be willing to give all to me. But all I'm asking for is the tithe or that tenth. Not just any tenth, but I want the first tenth. I want you to put me first. And if you'll put me first, I will bless the rest in your life. Has anybody proven this to be true in your life? I have. I've proven it to be true. And I know this sounds really strong, but if I'm not a tither, I'm embezzling from God. That's a strong word, I know. Because to embezzle is to mismanage, to steal or to misappropriate money that has been placed in my trust. Again, if you don't believe God owns it all, then you're thinking, that's mine. Well, you'll see how fast he can take it away from you. I used to preach at a church regularly, and so I knew the people in the church. And the organ player, every time I was there playing the organ, you know, when I would close out the message, come into the organ, was a sweet little lady. And I remember they called me and said, hey, did so-and-so, you know, any of the time you were here preaching, did so-and-so ever give you any money? And I thought, what in the world? Because I lived by a principle. I traveled 16 plus years as a full-time evangelist. And if anyone ever handed me any money, I don't care if it was a $20 bill, I took it straight to the pastor and put it in their hand and said, you know, someone, if I knew who it was or I'd describe them or try to get their name, someone gave this money to me and this does not belong to me because they are a giver in this house and I'm submitted to this house. That was the principle I lived by and still live by if I'm preaching somewhere to this day. And so they were asking, had this woman given me any money? And I said, no, I've never been given anything from this woman. But come to find out, this lady had been embezzling from her company for years. And I mean, I can see her right now in my memories recalling she's passed on now for some years, but I can remember her. And I mean everything about this is shocking to me. No, they got the wrong woman. No, she was the accountant and she had embezzled $3-4 million. And no one knew how Sister Betty was able to be such a blessing. But she was almost like Sister Robin Hood. Somebody's car break down, she'd, hey, I got you a car. People are like, what in the world? This is, my God. And I don't know, she never gave me anything. She was embezzling, and unfortunately, she went to prison for about 3 years, maybe a little longer. She spent in prison paying for that crime. But Haggai, small little book in the Old Testament, describes perfectly the cursed business. Haggai 1 and 6, you have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the cursed business. I function, but I never get ahead. I eat, but it just seems like we never have enough. I work hard trying to make money, but it just seems like there's always something taking my money. There's always something getting ahead of me and getting the best of me. That is the cursed business. So if we have a cursed business, there's another kind of business. There is the blessed business. So one more time, look at your life, your home, your family as a business. We want favor, not failure. We want blessing, not cursing. And when we give to God, we are partnering with God. When we put Him first, we are making Him our literal business partner. You and I know what failure feels like. You and I know what rock bottom feels like. Guess what? God has no idea what failure feels like. I want to partner with Him. I want to be in covenant with Him. I want Him to be involved in the affairs of my life. Again, not me running around and Him trying to keep up with me, but me quieting my life down and saying, wait a minute, this has got to go, and that's got to go, and I've got to turn that down, and I've got to cut this loose so that I can follow after the Lord, because I want to have a blessed business. I want to have a blessed business. So look at Malachi 3, because it's the exact opposite of Haggai 1 and 6. Malachi 3, 11 and 12. I will prevent pest from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. That's blessed. That's favor. I don't know how we live like we live on 90%, but look what God has done. I don't know how we're able to accomplish so much on so little, but look what God has done. I can tell you this as a church, we prove it every single week, how we're able to do so much, because we put Him first. I want God's favor. I want God's blessing. And God is looking out for me because we are invested in one another. That's the difference in cursed. Hey, guy, planted much, harvested little. Eat, but never have enough. Drink, never have your fill. Clothes, but aren't warm. Earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. And the blessed business, I'm going to prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. And the nations are going to call you blessed, and your land is going to be prosper. When other lands are failing, your land is going to prosper. That's the difference in cursed and blessed. Because 90% with God's blessing is way more than 100% without it. It's the truth. It's the truth. I'm closing. So here's what he said, Malachi 3 and 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. I may teach on this later. There's a lot to talk about when it comes to the storehouse and where your tithe should go and where you should give. I know people have all kinds of opinions, and I may tithe here and I may tithe there. That's not what God said. He said, the storehouse, which is where you are being fed, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And then he said, test me in this. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I want to bless you so abundantly that you don't even have room to store it. That's the way God wants to bless. That's the way God wants to work. And he actually dares us, challenges us to test him. Nowhere else in the Bible do we have that privilege. He said, test me. Test me. You know what today is? October 1st. October 1st. Got 3 months left. October, November, December. I dare you to dare God. I challenge you to challenge God. Test me in this. What if you said, all right, for the remainder of this year, October, November, December, I'm going to make a decision to tithe. Not just give whatever, you know, just, all right, I've got a few ones. Oh, there's a 10, I'll give a 10. No, truly tithe. Figure out what it is. I don't know what tithe is for you. I don't know. If you make $500 a week, $50 is the tithe. If you make $1,000 a week, $100 is the tithe. If you make $10,000 a week and you get stranded on an island, we're going to come looking for you. Tithe on $10,000 is $1,000. If you buy a piece of property for $100,000 and sell it for $1,000,000, you take out the original investment of $100,000, you're left with $900,000 profit. What is the tithe? It's $90,000. See, Pastor Dale, do you live like that? I really do. I really do. I'm crazy. If you give me a gift card, I tithe on it because it's increase in my life. You say, I don't know if I, oh, okay, you do you. But I'm going to test God in this. Am I rich? Lord, no. You got bills? Yes, several. But somehow, there's food and there's clothes. And there's sustaining and there's grace and there's favor. Take that challenge the next 3 months. Now, I realize one of those months is December, and the holidays will challenge you. December will, it'll challenge you because you're being pulled in every direction. But what if you just say, I'm going to put God first? I want to tell you what will happen. The rest of this year will be the best of your year. That's what will happen. When you put God first, it's amazing. Because it won't just be your finances. It'll be all these other areas of your life that you're like, man, it's just working. I don't know what's happened to the dog. The dog used to run out. Now he's just so obedient, stays right in the, I don't know. Everything is just working better in my life because I'm putting God first. Lord, it's the blessing business. You are in the blessing business. There is favor available. There's favor available for our finance. There's favor available for our relationships, our marriages, our homes, our businesses, our literal businesses. There's favor available. I want to position myself. I want this congregation, this house, to position ourselves for your favor on our lives, your blessing on our lives. I thank you, Lord, for giving us wisdom. I thank you for giving us a resolve and a discipline. Because the enemy, if we decide this today, and I'm taking this challenge, I'm going to tithe for 3 months, that the enemy is going to come with every single distraction he can. He's going to do it, I guarantee it. But I'm choosing to put you first today, Lord. I'm choosing to say yes to you and no to everything else. And I hear your word reverberating in my spirit. If you'll put me first, if you'll seek first his kingdom, then ultimately I'll get the desires of my heart. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for just having everything in the right order and allowing me to put it in the right order. Forgive us today, Lord. We examine ourselves. Forgive us for being wasteful. Forgive us, Lord, for not paying attention, for spending foolishly. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to redeem the time and to make up where we lost. In fact, your word said you would restore the years that the cankerworm and the locust that they destroyed and that they devoured in our lives. We need you to restore, Lord, in our lives, in Jesus' name. And I pray today for the one who feels like they've wasted their heart, wasted their worship, wasted their passion. Today can be a day of restoration. Today can be a day of renewing in our lives. Forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our wrongdoing and wrong direction and wrong turns. Set our feet on the path called straight so that we can walk in your favor and your goodness and your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Would you stand with me one more time? Would you sing it one time, team? I'll build. Yeah. Come on, give him praise for it today. Yes, I will. Walk into your week with your head held high and your shoulders squared and know that God is on your side, that God is blessing you, that God is favoring you. I wish you would make the confession as often as you think about it. Set a reminder on your phone, an alarm on your phone. Write it on the mirror in your bathroom or put it on a post-it note on your refrigerator. Just write the word favor, and every time you see it, every time you feel that reminder, that vibration, or hear that ding. Lord, I am favored. I am favored. I call your favor into my life. But listen, it's not going to happen just because you ask. It's going to happen because he's going to give you ideas and talk to you and say, hey, if you want my favor, do this. And when you're obedient to that, listen, it'll be a freight train that comes rolling into your life. Get here next Sunday. I'm not going to tell you what I'm preaching on next Sunday, because if I announce money or marriage, y'all going to run. Just come and hear what God has to say. We love you. I will build my life.